Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the heart of the Missouri Ozarks, greetings and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship Old Testament Study for Sunday, November 20th, 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're so glad you've chosen to join us this morning. You know, many of you have other things to do. You've got busy lives, and you don't necessarily have the time to sit down and listen to a 1 hour, you know, especially when we do two a week, two hours worth of Bible teaching. And we're so grateful that you do, because many of you have sent us notes and told us that you're getting something out of this. And, you know, if you are, praise God for it, because that is His doing, not ours. We get in the way more often than anything else.
Well, that's a fact. But we get a lot out of this too. And so
that's
we appreciate you letting us kind of work through the scriptures on your time. Because, you know, reading, we've said before, reading through these out loud and together, we can bounce ideas back and forth, really is a blessing, because it's, I'm getting a lot more out of this than, you know, through the times that I've read through the Bible alone in the past. And it's one thing to do that, and it's a good thing to do that. But boy, when you're reading it and trying to understand what it is you're reading while you're reading it out loud, for some reason that seems to, I don't know, it sticks deeper.
Things that you didn't notice before. I'm speaking of noticing things. I'm sitting here looking at my husband, and I love him very much. And I love sitting and looking at him. I could do it all day long. Depending on the light, Derek has sort of hazel eyes, and I say sort of because I've seen lots of other hazel eyes. Yours tend more toward the blue spectrum of hazel, because right now the light is hitting them in a way they look blue.
That's interesting.
And I don't often see your eyes look blue, but blue, and it's sort of a turquoise kind of blue. It's kind of cool color.
Wasn't that a, you know, 50s song, a doo-wop song?
Probably.
Pretty little hazel eyes. No, that wasn't it.
No, that was angel eyes, honey.
Right. And besides, I always sang the high part of that one.
Yeah, no wonder you don't know it.
I always went, someday I'd like to sing bass when I grow up, but that's probably not going to happen. Well, if you've just joined us at the Gilbert House Fellowship, all of the archives going back to the very first study, which is Genesis 1:1, of course, are linked at the website, gilberthouse.org. You'll find the links in the top menu bar there, Bible Study Archive. There's a little pull-down menu for the New Testament and the Old Testament archives. The calendar of the upcoming reading dates, which I need to update because next week we're going to take Thanksgiving weekend to just relax and recharge.
And write.
And write, yes. I've promised Tom a manuscript by the end of December. I'm about halfway into it, I think. There's also...
I've promised him some stuff by the end of December, too, so yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be many, many words flowing from our minds into our word processors.
So much typing.
So much carpal tunnel. Yeah. In fact, I started looking at ergonomic keyboards again, thinking maybe I need to start sitting here and typing on the ergonomic keyboard instead of on the laptop. Yeah. Laptop is convenient. Mm-hmm. I mean... you know, recliner is pretty comfortable, but after a while, the elbow just says, nah, I can't. And that's, you remember, you know, almost 20 years ago
that.
Where I was getting the last two fingers, my left hand were going numb every day.
Yeah.
And it was from just a standard keyboard and all the typing I was doing.
It was keyboard elbow.
Yeah.
It's not carpal tunnel. It's actually from the elbow.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the doctor, he identified it right away. I thought I was having a cardiac episode, and the doctor said, no, it's tennis elbow. And I laughed because I hadn't played tennis in 20 years. But he said, yo, you do a lot of typing on the computer? Well, yeah, get an ergonomic keyboard. Mm-hmm. Well, I've had that keyboard for almost 20 years now. It was the best $35 I ever spent.
Well, get one and, you know, hook it up to your laptop.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yeah, put the ergonomic keyboard on your lap. We'll need to get a tray table or something to go. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And now I know what
to ask for Christmas.
Yes, exactly. Well, the New Testament study today was all in the book of Acts, and we followed Paul on his journey to Rome, which was really interesting. They wouldn't listen to him, and because they didn't listen to him, they were trying to, you know, we need to make one more trip with the grain from Alexandria to Rome. Egypt was the breadbasket. The Nile Delta was the breadbasket for the Roman Empire back in the first century. And those grain ships that traveled from Egypt to Rome were the biggest ships that crossed the Mediterranean. But they were still subject to the weather. And we commented on that and the similarity of the ore ship that went down 41 years ago, the Edmund Fitzgerald on Lake Superior. Boy, when you know the Lord decides to let a storm whip up, doesn't matter how big the boat, you're not gonna handle it.
But if He promises to keep you, regardless of what happens to that boat, then He will.
Exactly, and that is what Paul promised, and that was really the interesting thing. 276 people on that ship, according to Luke, who is very careful with his details. He recorded exactly, we were going for this harbor and this harbor because it opens the southwest and northwest, but the wind blew us off course, and after 14 days, we landed here. So, very specific details. And Paul, after that 14th day, said, look, you guys are all panicky. You're not eating, but God has told me. An angel in the night appeared to me with a message from the God that I serve and worship, and he said, not a hair of our heads will be lost. Now, of course, he did have to rat out the sailors who were trying to get away in the lifeboat at one point.
He did, and they just cut the... He said, look, if they...
Centurion, if you let those guys off the boat, we're all going to die.
Yep. So they cut the ropes of the boat.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. And even more fascinating that it appears that an anchor from that vessel was found off the coast of Malta by a guy I interviewed 3 years ago. So you'll find that link in the study notes.
You've interviewed just about everybody over the years.
Yeah. Not everybody, but I think a lot of interesting people. So anyway, today we go into the Proverbs, and we'll do several chapters of the Proverbs. And before we do, we'll pray. And Lord, we'll ask you for wisdom, because that's what we're reading today and studying today. Bits of wisdom that you communicated to King Solomon and to others. And Father, we just pray that as we read these, you help us to understand, grant us insight, and help us, Lord, to understand your word in the way you want us to understand it, and then to apply it to our lives. Give us the courage to live according to your word in a world that is increasingly opposed to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs, beginning at chapter 25. This is kind of an easy study because we don't have to skip back and forth between different books.
That way for the New Testament, too.
Which is pretty cool.
Great day.
Proverbs 25. These also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. And Hezekiah lived about 300 years or thereabouts after, about 250 years after Solomon, I guess. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. That's a verse that I hear a lot, and I think every time I've heard it, I've kind of taken it to mean that, it's a good thing to search things out, but if the glory of God is to conceal them, maybe this verse is more about the contrast between God and human rulers.
Yeah, because we do want to know the truth. We want to find the answers to all of our questions, and you know, we don't need all those answers.
Right.
The Lord is concealing things for his reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll still try to figure it out.
Sure. On the other hand, the shoe is on
the
other hand.
Foot now. Yeah.
Or the hand is on the other foot, yeah. The glory of a king to seek wisdom in order to rightly rule his people.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Verse 3, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness.
Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, you can have, and here's another takeaway regarding the election. You can have the perfect president, but if he or she is not surrounded by people who are just as driven toward serving God, you will have nothing because the advisors essentially run the king.
Yeah. And I think that it's a good sign that Mike Pence is serving as the vice president.
Amen to that.
And that Mr. Trump, President-elect Trump, has selected him to chair the transition committee. I mean, that was a position that was held by Chris Christie, who's been a loyal supporter of Donald Trump, but has had some issues. He just had a couple of his subordinates in the state of New Jersey convicted of using their political office to punish Governor Christie's political opponents.
Yeah.
So Yeah, Governor Pence, I think, was a really good choice, and that shows some wisdom on Mr. Trump's part. And here's a verse that Jesus referenced in one of his parables, Proverbs 25, verse 6. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. Yeah. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor yourself, and do not reveal another's secret.
With your neighbor himself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end.
And underline those verses, because all too often we tend to bring our grievances into social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. And sometimes we jump on things that we hear that we want to be true without verifying whether they are in fact true. And then by repeating them, we bring ill repute on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. That is really true. One of the things I had to learn in management when I was program director of the radio station in St. Louis 30 years ago was that you need to let people know you appreciate them and what they do and who they are. And that's even more true in a relationship than in a business setting. And there are a lot of people, a lot of men, I can speak to that. I don't know about, won't speak for women, but a lot of men whose management style seems to be assume that you're doing fine until I tell you otherwise. And that's not, it's not easy to work for someone like that. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Again, this idea of being wise enough to hear correction and accept it. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it.
Okay.
Warning against gluttony, lest your foot,
you could say it's warning against gluttony, but also perhaps it's warning against wanting sweetness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because life isn't always sweet. And you learn the most from things that aren't constantly sweet.
That's a good point. Yeah. In other words, the path of least resistance is a path toward destruction, basically. Mm-hmm. You never learn anything that way. Yeah. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you.
Get out of here. Every time you're here, you vomit.
Familiarity breeds contempt. Mm-hmm. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. What does that mean here?
Well, I don't know, but if you put vinegar on soda, it cleans crazy. Well,
yeah, I think the sense here, vinegar on soda or taking off a garment on a cold day, acting joyfully towards someone in sorrow is like pouring vinegar or lemon juice on a wound.
Singing songs to someone with a heavy heart?
If you're acting joyfully around someone.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
because they realize that, okay,
right.
For some reason I took this originally as ministering to that heavy heart.
Yeah, no, I think this is the contrast to that. This is whatever the opposite of that would be.
Okay, gotcha.
Or like Billy Crystal in the Princess Bride, why don't you pour lemon juice on paper cuts? Or whatever that line was. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Yes. We read this last week in one of Paul's letters, Book of Romans.
Yep. Yeah.
The north wind brings forth rain, and the backbiting tongue, angry looks. I think we've hit verse 24 coming up. I think we've read this one before. Mm-hmm. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. All that's required for evil to have its way is for good men to do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. The Hebrew line, meaning of the Hebrew line, kind of uncertain there, but that's how the ESV translators chose to render it. Verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls.
Proverbs 26, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. Just keeps flying around, I guess. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools.
Only way to get him to do what we need him to do.
Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Answer, remember that on social media.
Yeah.
Underline that. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So, four is answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Five is answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Now, these two seem to contradict each other.
But they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
One is that it's puffing him up by saying, hey, you're great. But while you're doing that silly, foolish thing, you're looking like a fool yourself.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
Or the Texas proverb, don't enter a contest with a skunk because
you won't win.
Yeah, you won't win.
You'll just both come out smelling. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like a lame man's legs, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds the stone in a sling. Don't do that if you want to sling it out.
Exactly.
Like one who binds the stone in the sling is one who gives honor to a fool.
The sling was a weapon of war back in the day, and it's kind of tough to, you know, hit the enemy if the stone is tied up in the sling.
Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools.
It's one thing to memorize it and be able to speak it, but you have to actually live according to the wisdom it contains.
Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or a drunkard. Not a very good archer if he's hitting everybody. Sam, here's one for you. Like a dog that returns to his vomit. What?
He's stuck his head out of the blanket there.
What? Is a fool who repeats his folly.
He says, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I say I that one all the time.
Yeah.
Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. We've read this one before.
Yeah, and that's why he keeps a lion in his bed. Yeah.
I can't go out there. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth.
This is hard.
I'm so tired. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears.
You get bit.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you get bit.
Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking.
Yeah.
Another one to underline for social media.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases.
Right. Don't give fuel to the fire.
As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Again, social media.
Mm-hmm.
The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. This is gossip.
Mm-hmm.
They go down into the inner parts of the body.
And what you are is what you eat.
Mm. Yeah. Like the glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Like the silver of dross is the alternative to a glaze.
Hmm.
Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. When he speaks graciously, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Mm. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly.
That's right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, divine counsel reference, perhaps?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, we're everything's going to be exposed in the assembly because that's part everybody's assembling for judgment.
Yeah, they're very true. Yes, in that context, yes.
Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin.
Proverbs 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Next year, we're going to do blah, 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 blah.
Well, yeah, we all say that, and it should be Lord willing.
Lord willing, mm-hmm. Right. But again, not in a boastful way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. That's another version of that. Don't try to set yourself up at the head of the table and have to be asked to move down.
Yeah.
Let someone else handle the praise for you. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? That is self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do we, and you know, not to get maudlin, but how often do we see stories in the news of a couple going through a rough time and one commits violence against the other and the children and
because of
jealousy. Yeah. Mm. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. This one is a relatively well-known proverb. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Hmm.
Hmm. So a friend who is giving you constructive criticism is better than an enemy who is falsely praising you.
Sycophant.
Yeah. Yeah. One who is full loathes honey. But to one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet.
Or a sycophant. It all depends on what their brain is like.
Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. But you have to be willing to listen, and that is a theme repeated often in Proverbs. You have to have the wisdom to listen when a friend, one who loves you, offers correction. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. So well, some friends stick closer than a brother, I guess. Better is a neighbor who is near than a brother who is far away. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Yeah. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for an adulteress. What is the alternate translation there? Oh, a foreign woman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hmm. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. That's it. 5:30 in the morning. Don't be walking past your neighbor's window saying, "Hey, John, love you.
Bless you, brother."
Yeah, wait until he's awake. A continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand. Huh. Oh, here we go. This is another famous proverb. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
Which is why the sharpening report was so named.
Exactly. Proverbs 27:17. Mark that down. Verse 18. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. Sheol and
Abaddon.
Yes, we had a long discussion about that the other day. Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. And of course, Abaddon, we know in Revelation 9, is actually the name of an entity.
Apollyon.
Yeah, Apollyon, who I just learned is equated with a number of Middle Eastern deities as
well. So here's the question. Can a place know satisfaction?
Well, the thing that's interesting is that Sheol is personified as, well, no, it's not. It's hell is personified.
Hades. Personified.
Yeah.
So is it possible that Sheol is also the name of an entity?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
We'll look that up.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
I mean, either way, it makes sense. I mean, even if using this as kind of a symbol of death and destruction, but yeah, it is possible. I mean, at least if Abaddon is personified.
Well, that's just the fact that it's parallel usage here.
Right, exactly.
It seems to me like one would be,
Exactly right. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. You can't sift that out. You can't cure stupid.
But you can bake it into a pie.
Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds, for riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generations? When the grass is gone and the new growth appears and the vegetation of the mountains is gathered, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of a field. There will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the maintenance of your girls.
Maintaining those girls is just so costly. They're always wanting hair gel. Proverbs 28. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When a land transgresses, it has many rulers. Israel found this out.
Yeah, and so did the Roman Empire.
Yep. But with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue.
Yeah, I mean, that's true in history through the ages. You can see where lands had one ruler who unified everything and people seemed to be genuinely satisfied. I mean, you know, but then within a couple of generations, you find that the land is just splintered and fragmented as the successors fight for the scraps. Charlemagne, his empire, divided among his three sons, and then squabble.
Well, I pray that we are not seeing that here in the United States, but it certainly seems that way.
Fear we are, yeah.
A poor man who oppresses the poor is a beating rain that leaves no food. Those who forsake that, by the way, beating rain, if you're wondering, a nourishing rain would be a gentle rain that actually helps the roots. A beating rain is actually going to rip them out.
One that flattens the crops.
Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive against them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. We were talking about justice just this morning. DK.
Yeah, the goddess of justice, yeah.
Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. We all understand that one. The one who keeps the law is a son with understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor.
Mm. In other words, he's saying a profit that comes from charging interest mm-hmm. to the poor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination.
Mm.
Now understand that this is not saying that we should go back to the law. This was written before Christ's redemptive act.
Mm-hmm.
The law at that time was teaching people, not only the people of Israel, but all of the nations watching, exactly who Yahweh was and what he expected. And that was an expectation that we cannot meet.
Right.
That is why we need Jesus Christ.
There is none righteous, no, not one.
And Christ fulfilled all of the law.
Right.
Whoever misleads the upright into an evil way will fall into his own pit. Similar to you dig a pit, you're going to fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the blameless will have a goodly inheritance. A rich man is wise in his own eyes, but a poor man who has understanding will find him out.
Hmm.
When the righteous triumph, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. This, if nothing else, is prophetic. Because in the end, the righteous will triumph and there will be great glory. But just prior to that, the final half of the tribulation period, the wicked will be in control.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least in the first half, they'll continue to think they're in control in the back half. But people will literally hide themselves. Not only the believers who are hiding so that they won't be killed because they're not marked and they won't worship the beast, but also those who are hiding themselves from the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. Lord being all caps, this is Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. You don't want either of those,
no.
Especially that charging bear.
Back to verse 14 again. It's interesting that the translators of the ESV add the note that the original Hebrew of that verse lacks Yahweh, lacks the Lord. I'd have to look at I'll look that up, the blue letter version. So carry on.
Well, I'm in blue letter right now.
But the translators added it to clarify that verse. It wasn't to change the meaning of the verse. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I'm reading the ESV from blue letter right now.
Right.
And I don't see any notes about that verse.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Faith Life version and, yeah, sure enough, the Hebrew does not contain Yahweh in there, and they added that.
I think they'd have a note here.
Yeah, the NASB translation follows the Hebrew, apparently. Hmm. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity.
Hmm. Well, who are you going to fear?
Well, the Lord.
I mean, yeah,
the beginning,
exactly.
Yeah, fear of the Lord is the beginning
implied,
of wisdom.
So, yeah.
Implied, but they just, yeah. So the ESV actually added that in there to, you know, clarify the meaning. Yeah.
Verse 16, a ruler who lacks understanding is a cruel oppressor, but he who hates unjust gain will prolong his days. If one is burdened with the blood of another, he will be a fugitive until death. Let no one help him.
Hmm.
Whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. If only.
Hmm.
That word suddenly. It may be suddenly to the Lord.
Yeah.
But sometimes that suddenly takes years and years to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a slow motion suddenly. Whoever works his hand will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty.
Works his land.
Whoever works his land.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Hand.
Well, same thing, working the land with the hand.
Yeah, that's true. It follows.
A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So don't hasten to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make that your life goal.
Yeah.
To show partiality is not good, but for a piece of bread, a man will do wrong. Well, that is the theme of Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
He steals bread to feed his niece, I think, or his sister's child. Sister's child, I think. Yeah, his niece. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. Again, don't rush after riches.
Right.
Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue.
And of course, that's assuming that you're rebuking in love and not to tear down.
Mm-hmm, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, that is no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. In other words, well, you know, it's mine anyway.
Yeah. I'm just helping myself do it before they kick off.
Yeah. A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in Yahweh, in the Lord, mm-hmm. will be enriched. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. When the wicked rise, people hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase.
Hmm.
Sort of it's a restatement of what we saw earlier.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 29. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing.
It's another one of those suddenlies that has various paces.
Yeah. To us, it seems like it's taking forever, but it's happening in God's own time. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. He who loves wisdom makes his father glad, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. By justice, a king builds up the land, but he who exacts gifts tears it down. And that can also be translated as he who taxes heavily tears it down.
Yeah, but it's a gift. You're giving it to me.
Yeah, we're redistributing the wealth. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. An evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. A righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge. Well, there's a reason they're poor after all. Scoffers set a city aflame, but the wise turn away wrath. Yeah, and again, we're seeing this played out in our streets since Election Day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. But the ratings for the show are great.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, we see this again, social media. It just amazes me how many people will try to engage people who differ from them, who choose to see life differently. You are not going to, you will rarely, if ever, persuade that person to think along your lines.
Right. You're right.
And part of it is because the other person, having chosen to do that, is so entrenched in his or her thoughts. But sometimes you're arguing with a bot.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody or something that's just there to sap your energy.
Yeah.
And divert you from actual productive tasks.
Yeah.
That's a lesson I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Better than I was a few years ago.
I know.
Yeah.
We're all still learning.
Yeah, boy, I engaged in a long series of debates with a ceremonial magician and finally realized, this guy's just here to waste my time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really trying to engage because he's engaging in libel and mistruth. Well, he's a ceremonial magician.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and by that, we don't mean somebody who does parlor tricks for kids. I mean,
we're talking about someone who's into
ritual,
occult stuff.
Yeah, ritual magic, occult stuff, the dark side. Verse 10 of Proverbs 29. Bloodthirsty men hate one who is blameless and seek the life of the upright. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. The poor man and the oppressor meet together. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both.
Interesting.
Well, God has made both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which means the oppressor ought to be a little more gracious to the poor person, since they are both creatures
exactly
of God, children of God. If a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will look upon their downfall. Again, maybe not as quickly as we'd like it to, but God promises that vengeance is his and he will repay. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law.
People are discouraged.
No prophetic vision. That's really interesting. It is a validation of the study of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
By mere words, a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he will not respond. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Whoever pampers his servant from childhood will in the end find him his heir.
Hmm.
And the meaning of the word renders his heir is uncertain, but that the meaning of the verse seems pretty clear. You raise the servant
like a son.
Like a son and pamper him, he will come to expect that mm-hmm. treatment. Yeah.
Yep.
A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. The partner of a thief hates his own life. He hears the curse, but discloses nothing. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Many seek the face of a ruler, but it is from the Lord that a man gets justice, from Yahweh. And verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting getting all those nuggets at once. And it's, I think, fun reading through these and seeing that 3,000 years ago, Solomon, who reigned in the 10th century BC, observed very similar things about human nature that we see in our world today. We humans haven't changed all that much. Just the technology around us has changed.
There's nothing new under the sun.
Amen. Well, I guess we should mention it on this program too, since just for people who may be just doing the Old Testament or the mm-hmm. New Testament. A couple things to talk about, actually. First, good news that Sharon and I, and also a couple of our colleagues from Skywatch TV, Josh Peck and Jake Rahutsky, mm-hmm. who is a man who is behind the scenes doing
the
a lot
team.
Of the editing. Yeah, the J team. Behind the scenes doing the editing of the daily updates and Sci-Friday, but also the host of the Sharpening Report. Now he's taken over for Josh on that, but he's also got a regular weekly program on Truth Frequency Radio and a very, very gifted and intelligent young man and a real blessing, a real positive, real strong addition to the mm-hmm. team. We'll be speaking, all of us, at the Hear the Watchman conference coming up March 31st through April 2nd in Dallas. It's at the Dallas-Fort Worth, of course, I didn't have the page brought up here, so Dallas-Fort Worth Lakes Executive Center. And some of the other speakers on the list include our friends Dr. Michael Lake, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Casper McLeod mm-hmm. will be there, which is awesome. Some folks that we've just gotten to know a little bit recently, Pastor Billy Crone, Josh Tolley, Anthony Patch, who I just had the opportunity mm-hmm. to interview for A View from the Bunker. And then some folks that looking forward to meeting, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer and John B. Wells, the host
Midnight
Caravan to Midnight.
Yep.
Yeah. I want my voice to be like John B. Wells when I grow up.
Aw, one day, honey, one day,
so,
you know, and if you register this Friday, which they're calling not Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, but Blessed Friday,
right.
You will save, what, about $20?
Yeah, the registration fee is normally $89 to $99, but from 9 p.m. Thursday, Thanksgiving night, to 9 p.m. Friday, and this applies to whatever time zone you're in, thanks to the internet, they can set it up this way. So from 9 p.m. Thursday to 9 p.m. Friday, it's $77.70. So 777-7770. But again, only from Thursday, 9 p.m., Thanksgiving night to Friday, 9 p.m. And the registration fee will go up in December. So it behooves you, saves you money if you register on this side of Christmas instead of after Christmas. The Hilton Dallas-Fort Worth Lakes Executive Conference Center in Grapevine, Texas is the location. So,
what side of Dallas is that on?
I would have to look at a map, but I honestly don't know. Not very familiar with the Dallas area.
I did drive through there a long time ago, but generally if I'm in Dallas, it's in the airport.
Yeah, I think that's about the only thing I've seen in Dallas too, is just connecting flights. Thankfully, it is one of the hubs from which the Springfield flights from the Springfield Airport.
So we actually
airport.
Have a direct flight. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Grapevine is actually, if you were to draw a triangle between Dallas and Fort Worth, which are east and west of each other, and then put the point on the top of that pyramid, that's Grapevine, Texas, up there.
Okay.
So it's not actually in Dallas. It's a little ways out. So information at hearthewatchman.com. And So that being the good news, then we also just want to say a farewell to a friend. And I'm glad you remembered this on the New Testament study this morning. Joe Ortiz, who was a pioneer in talk radio, the first Mexican-American to host a daily radio talk show in a major market, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Joe Ortiz has gone home to be with the Lord. He had suffered with various illnesses in recent years. He had chronic pain and always seemed to bear it well with grace, but we
and
know
a
now,
lot of humor, loving gentleman. And I, as I said this morning, he's now at the railing cheering us on.
Yeah. And because he's already there now he knows what he was right about regarding prophecy.
Well, that's just doctrine. It. Not one.
And none of us has it all right. Yes.
Not one of us has it all right. So we are all going to be schooled by the master when we get there.
And that comment was not intended as a criticism of Joe or a jab. No.
I think Joe, what a scholar. And I agree with most of what he believed. So those few things that I disagree with him on.
Those were secondary issues. And to his credit.
You and I disagree sometimes. So look. Sam T. Dachshund has it all right.
Though. He does. Yeah. I say Firefly's the greatest television show ever, and Sharon just...
I just can't get it. Sorry, I just...
So,
no,
anyway,
sorry.
Yeah.
I like Joss Whedon, but...
But anyway, Joe, we are looking forward to... Looking forward to seeing you someday. And so anyway, just wanted to pass that along. He's been interviewed in our program. Bruce Collins has had him on the show. Jake Rahutsky recently interviewed him for Truth Frequency Radio. So, he was a real, the older generation saying, you young fellas, keep going. He was a real encouragement.
He really was. So
took the kind words that he gave, directed our way as high praise.
Yeah,
so.
Me too.
Well, anyway, next weekend being Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to take the weekend to just rest and recharge, and we'll be back first.
Right,
yes, because we both have, like we said, we got projects that we promised to Tom. He's such a slave driver, so we need to. I say that tongue in cheek.
Here's the comfy chair. We're going to torture you now.
Yeah, exactly, and we're going to make you take off at least 2 weeks in December, three if we can figure out how. And no. So,
which reminds me also, this coming week, because it is Thanksgiving week at Skywatch TV, you'll have an update Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah. And Monday's update has already been recorded actually. So, we'll have,
But nothing on Thursday or Friday.
There will be no update
on Thursday and no Sci Friday.
Right.
We're going to try to actually have some family time.
Exactly. We'll be sitting on matching couches, sitting and writing.
Yes. That's what our family
But yeah,
time
Monday,
is like.
Monday's update will be an interview, a discussion, really, conversation with Bob Ulrich and Gary Stearman from Prophecy Watchers, because the registration is now open for the Blessed Hope Prophecy Forum, October 13th through the 15th of 2017.
And that fills up very quickly. In fact, the response has been awesome. So make sure, if you want to be there, if you live anywhere close to the Edmond, Oklahoma.
Norman, sorry.
Wrong one. Norman, Oklahoma. It's some guy's name. I don't know. What do they know there? They can't even play football there.
Much. We say that with Mizzou sitting at a record like 3-8 or something this year.
Well, yeah, anyway. But when when I went to the University of Nebraska Lincoln, I just couldn't. Sorry.
Tom Osborne. Yeah. No, that's understandable.
He's the guy.
So it will be in Norman, Oklahoma next year. So there won't be a, at least we will not be participating in a conference at in Colorado, as far as I know, but that conference will take place in Norman, Oklahoma. The new facility there is an Embassy Suites, I believe. It's a relatively new hotel.
Sounds right.
But it's considerably larger than the one in Colorado Springs, which was the kind of the limiting factor, because there was a lot more demand for registration than there was space to admit people. So the Embassy Suites, the main room in the Embassy Suites will host 1,400.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right, which is bigger than the number of people who were able to fit for the whole conference in Colorado Springs. So, so we'll talk to Bob and Gary about that. And, and some great names being already part of that conference as well. In fact, I was surprised to learn this because Tom hasn't told us this yet, but one of the speakers at the conference in Oklahoma will be Tom Horn. Yeah.
No, it won't. He says he doesn't do that anymore.
I know. But Bob said, nope. Do you know what Tom's going to talk about? I said, I didn't know Tom was talking. What are you talking about?
Tom who?
So anyway, that'll be Monday's update on Skywatch TV.
Cool.
We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for granting us this time together over your word. And Lord, we pray for wisdom that we would rightly understand it. Father, we know that many have gone astray by trying to add to your word and take things away from your word. Lord, we just pray for wisdom. Ask you to help us to understand and give us the courage to live according to your word, to speak truth in love when it is appropriate to do so, that we might share the hope, the blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus with those who have not yet found their way to him. Lord, Lord, we pray for those who are sharing the gospel around the world, making disciples of all nations and taking the Great Commission as their life's calling. We pray for their safety, for their encouragement, and for their support. Lord, we pray for the family members of those who have gone on to be with the Lord, the family of Joe Ortiz, and all those who've suffered loss. Lord, we pray for those who are in need of medical healing, financial healing, spiritual and emotional healing. Lord, we know that you are capable of salving all wounds. We pray for the comfort of those who are struggling, Lord. And we know that a day is coming when all will be put right and all injustices will be put right. Lord, we ask for your blessing, for your protection, and again, Lord, for wisdom and for discernment. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Till next time, have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear.